Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're kicking off another week as the awakening to the true nature of the political system on this planet accelerates, and as the corrupt tyrants attempt to set up classical police states in every major nation they control, the battle is certainly joined. In the last 30 minutes of the broadcast today, Bev Harris, one of the leading experts on election fraud and irregularities, will be joining us to talk about her report, Recipe for Vote Fraud: Global Internet Voting Firm Buys U.S. Election Results Reporting Firm. What did Joe Stalin say? He said, "I care not who casts the votes. I care only who counts them." So we're going to be talking to Bev at the end of the broadcast today, the last 30 minutes, about that. In the meantime, we are going to cover, obviously, the incredible economic developments, the latest on Iran. Looks like some good news for now. More on killer flu doctors. U.S. censorship is a danger to science. We've got that report as well. And also here in Texas, I saw a news report out of the South Texas papers. It was in the Houston Chronicle and also in the Galveston Daily News, that a 16-year-old girl, was getting out of the shower and came out, and there were two robbers that had broken into the house. Her parents were gone. She ran and got a firearm and chased them out. And I tuned into local radio, supposedly conservative, and they were decrying what she'd done. And I heard callers saying, yes, you know, she's too young to have a gun and might have hurt herself. What if they were armed? I mean, it is a religion to be gelded, domesticated ninnies. And it's supposedly trendy to not train your sons and daughters how to use a firearm. And if they do, it's seen as, well, uncouth and barbaric. We should all live in New York City or Chicago and have seven or eight locks on our doors, and the criminals bust in and you just basically roll over and say, please don't kill me, you know, rape me, rob me, whatever. I mean, the answer to people breaking into your house is killing them. That's why you look at places that have higher firearms ownership, and there is a total graph that follows that there's less home invasions, less muggings, less carjackings, less robberies. It varies year to year, but it's generally, for every crime committed with a firearm, there's 20-plus crimes, 21, 25, 24, depends on the year, 20-plus crimes that are frustrated or stopped, according to the Justice Department's own numbers. You can pull those up. But I see this paradox of people who are so scared of firearms that they never train their sons, their daughters how to use them, and they just send them out into the world to be raped, robbed, and killed. And it's a badge of honor for people to be abused. Every few days I see an article out of California or Texas or Florida. There was a couple out of California in the last 2 weeks where people are breaking in. They're coming in with a knife or gun, and the women call 911 and ask permission. And 911 says, well, I'm not going to tell you what to do. Then the women shoot the people, and then they have a debate in the media, was it right? It's scary. Okay, I'm going to go through a bunch of the news. Huntsman has dropped out. I'm going to get more into this ship sinking. And the captain, you know, twiddling his thumbs. All of it's coming up today.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Well, a foreign company has bought up the big national grid that tallies national elections. And we're going to have Bev Harris, the top election fraud expert, joining us in the last 30 minutes of the broadcast today to discuss it. I want to welcome all of the listeners who are tuning in to this Monday, the 16th day of January, 2012, worldwide broadcast. And after I just mentioned some of the top stories and some of the topics and issues that I think are most important, I'm going to open the phones up for the next 2.5 hours until Bev Harris joins us, interspersed with different news clips and things that we're going to be analyzing here on air. And callers are welcome to call in about any subject they want. But I first want to, folks, hear some of the news I'm going to throw out there before I open the phones up. Now, we don't really screen your calls. We do ask your first name, where you're calling from. You could, you know, make up any name you wish, from Alaric to Porky Pig. I don't care. You could call yourself a Keebler elf for all I care. But it is interesting to hear from you how you're listening, whether it's XM channel 166 or AM and FM station in your area, or via the different internet TV boxes, or just the audio streams at Infowars.com or the video streams at PrisonPlanet.tv, because it's not just a radio show. We also simulcast it as a TV show. If you're a new listener and you hear me saying, put that on screen, please. That's my great producers and directors in there that run the show, scrambling to post different articles and things on screen so that there is a video record. When I say something outrageous, like DynCorp has been caught running giant white slavery rings, that means sex slaves, children included, and I say Chicago Tribune, they can go pull it up and put it on screen so that people who watch this later in posterity, or either live at PrisonPlanet.tv, or the millions, the tens of millions that watch us each week on the different video services out there like YouTube and others, they can actually see the truth of what I'm saying. If I mention that Canadian papers are reporting high levels of different radioactive isotopes from Fukushima, we can put that on screen. You see, what this radio show really does is it ends the compartmentalization. Because I look at international news, I look at Japanese news, British news, Russian, Iranian, Mexican news, Venezuelan news, Nicaraguan news, South African news, Libyan news. We look at it all. Alternative news, YouTube reporters, movie clips, my own commentary, my own humor. Sometimes it's so lame, people don't even know it's humor. I mean, it's basically a complete free-for-all with an overriding mixture of a serious desire to be free and to bring bullies and criminals to justice. And that's really what it comes down to, a spirit of 1776 worldwide. This broadcast is into the individual. It's into freedom of speech. I agree with Ron Paul. There's no room for racism on my radio show because I believe in individuals. And so that's not compatible in my worldview. I'm into the conduct of your life, the content of your mind, what you stand for, what you produce. Because at the end of the day, that is what we leave behind. That doesn't mean there isn't racism out there from all different groups. There isn't reverse racism. Political correctness is a control system. And so we do analyze that here. But I am someone who looks at things on an individual basis, and that's what I seek for in my everyday life. But I also do see that political correctness is used as a weapon to shutter even basic discussion in this society, and it's used as a tool. In fact, I mentioned this yesterday on the Sunday radio show, and I never got to it, So it's not our top story here today, but I do intend to get to a little bit more later. Ron Paul, 2012, haters discuss KKK smear campaign against him, International Business Times. And that's what the haters do. They will use political correctness to build a straw man on somebody or use something and take it out of context to then try to derail somebody like Ron Paul. There's a new hit piece out that Ron Paul flies first class when he flies to and from Washington, D.C. Most senior congressmen like himself actually demand private jet rides, like Nancy Pelosi and Boehner and others who have Air Force 3 and 4 and 5, giant, large jet aircraft that cost millions of dollars a month to maintain and fly. Ron Paul has been criticized for, on his campaign trail, using campaign money to fly first class. I wish he was conducted on a bed of roses. He's 76 years old. He works out every morning, barely eats. But I've told him he should be on private jets. In fact, as much as he's flying, they're a lot quicker. They're a lot less stressful. He's complained on this show because he's got metal parts in him. Everywhere he goes, he gets groped. Played a lot of sports, so he's got a lot of injuries. And he talks about them grabbing his genitals and how it's disgusting it is. Ron Paul, who is number two in the presidential race, should not be flying commercial aircraft right now. But instead, I've got LA Times, Fox News, Chicago Tribune, Washington Post. You'd think it's the number one story in the country right now that Ron Paul is flying first class on the campaign and when he flies to Congress. I mean, it is ridiculous. Ron Paul, you can really see the age and how much he's working getting to him. I've told the campaign privately, and I'll say it here, he should not be doing all this retail politics, which is exhausting to somebody 37 years old like myself. I mean, I love meeting people, and it's incredibly humbling and kind of freaks me out. I become more and more reclusive by the day. And just everywhere I go now, I mean, I go to a barbecue joint on Saturday night with my family, and every person behind the counter, every person in the place is a listener and starts coming over and shaking my hand. Everywhere I go now, I mean, it is, and again, I don't just shake somebody's hand like a fake politician. I read them, I see them, I listen to them, and I see the admiration in their eyes, and quite frankly, it freaks me out. I mean, I'm digressing off into myself right now because I know I'm a good person. I'm trying as hard as I can, but I'm not that good. What I'm saying is I can't believe the responsibility I've got. And I know Ron Paul is the same. I've been with him at events over the years, seen him sit there and look people up and down and really talk to them. People get mad at politicians because there's like a glaze in their eyes. Sometimes I've been in an event for like 10 hours and just stay in a crowd shaking hands with thousands of people. And after about 4 or 5 hours, you do glaze over. Because it's so exhausting to actually really read somebody and talk to them. So that's normal. When you really shake somebody's hand, look in their eye, you read them. It's an automatic thing, and it's exhausting. And I'm telling you, folks, Ron Paul is many days, more than 8 hours out in crowds. And I understand people like to shake your hand and like to meet you, but let me tell you, I can see it in the debates. He looks tired. For the first time ever. And so does Mitt Romney and the rest of them who are a lot younger. So Ron Paul should be going electronic. I know he turns on a lot of interviews that reach a lot of people. Instead to go meet 100 people and give them a speech. And now he's hitting bigger states. The campaign needs to completely shift out of retail politics. Ron Paul just can't do it. The strategy is electronic. But I now digress. He's got other things to deal with. Where there's all these Facebook pages where they're recruiting. And this is how we caught Democratic operatives in the Rand Paul race who were running against him. People that worked for the other campaign got caught dressed up in John Deere hats and, checkered shirts, kind of what you'd call hayseed outfits, which is condescending to rural people, the backbone of this country, and holding up racist signs. And the media nationally did run with it. kind of like 2 weeks ago, Huntsman operatives got caught creating ads making fun of Asian people, basically, and implying that, you know, don't vote for Huntsman because he's adopted Asian children and was the ambassador to China. No, it's the issues that he worked for Obama and that MSNBC keeps praising him. I mean, when MSNBC, the Obama channel, is endorsing you, you know that the person works for Obama. But again, Fox, MSNBC, they all ran with it and called for Ron Paul to apologize. And of course, none of them retracted when it came out it was Huntsman's people. Now it's come out that they are organizing to dress up as KKK operatives. And then they linked through and found the people on the Facebook indeed are people that have protested against Paul. And so they're trying to pick up on this. So this is the type of dirty trick that gets run out there. And they use race on every issue. You know, that's why I've made the point, forget race. Mitt Romney, Barack Obama, they're basically the same person. They're just different parties. One is a Republican, one is a Democrat. But in the final equation, I mean, look at this. Then I'm going to come back and get into all the other news. Look at this Rasmussen poll out today. Voters see all GOP hopefuls as conservative, but Romney and Paul. So they don't see Romney as conservative enough, or Paul even more so, they say. Paul least so. And I guess that shows how by moving the Overton window, by moving political perception, now with Romney, they think open borders, gun control, abortion, carbon taxes, riding Obamacare, that's now conservative. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, we're here. Many stations rebroadcast it at night. We're very thankful for that. We also come back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. Then there's the nightly news, 7 o'clock every evening. I end up doing the nightly news on average about four nights a week. We have Aaron Dykes that does it as well. Tonight, the Health Ranger, Mike Adams, is going to be sitting in, another great Austinite, as we transmit it across the world. Paul Watson occasionally hosted, as well as Rob Dew. Okay, let me do this. Let me just go over some of the headlines that I'll get back into more detail on as the broadcast unfolds today. And then we're going to come back and start going to your phone calls on these issues or whatever issues you'd like to raise. But I do want to throw this out to listeners. I don't usually follow the classic talk radio format of what's your favorite color, or another pit bull ate another child. What do you think should be done about this? There are times that I do want to hear your view on things. Generally, I open the phones up just as a random grab bag to see what news you're going to raise or what point you're going to bring up that we can then discuss. It adds that incredible wild card to the broadcast. That's why I take calls. And it's a humbling process to get calls from all over the world. But occasionally, I really do, on a general topic, want to get your view on what do you think is going to happen in 2012? What do you think of the whole 2012 end of the world scenario that I'm seeing more and more in even mainline newspapers and TV implying that this year is going to be fraught with catastrophe and doom? I don't think that. But I'm already seeing editorials in newspapers where they'll say, yeah, why should we even care? Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura, I saw one of these a few days ago, think the world's going to end anyways. I have never said the world's going to end on 2012. But sure enough, I'm going to get blamed for it. When the world doesn't end, it'll be all my fault that anybody ever thought it was. I know that the media and Hollywood's been promoting it as a self-fulfilling prophecy that it's a foregone conclusion that the world's going to end, so why should you be politically involved? And I saw this in 2002. Planet X is going to kill everybody next year, so why be politically involved? And I got criticized for saying that it wasn't coming and there's no such thing. I mean, sure, there's hundreds of discovered planetoids out past Pluto. That's why Pluto is no longer a planet, because there's planetoids bigger than Pluto. So you'd have to have hundreds of planets out in the Kuiper Belt. So there's always a grain of truth to this stuff. And then I always societally get blamed for it. I'll be on some of the radio show and they're like, you're the guy that thinks Planet X is going to kill us. Or you're the guy saying 2012 is the end of the world. No, I'm the guy saying it isn't. But let's be clear about something. The New York Times reported last Monday, and we talked about it a lot, with the headline, Manufactured Doomsday. And we'll put that back on screen for folks who are watching on PrisonPlanet.tv. And they talked about the fact that as part of the BioShield program, $9 billion under Bush, tens of billions now under Obama, they have 36 level 4 weapons labs and then subsidiaries, too many to count. I can't find an actual number. It looks like it's over 200, where they're developing every airborne weaponized strain of every nightmare you can imagine. And it's very, very frustrating. Yeah, that's an interesting headline, but the headline is from the New York Times last week was Manufacturing Doomsday. Or Manufactured Doomsday. I want to, in fact, reprint that for me because I want to cover that more later. That's what keeps me up at night. That's what I'm concerned about. Because some of these different weaponized airborne mouse pox and the rest of it kill over 90% of those that comes in contact with. Mouse pox designed for humans, 99%. How to build it, how to make it in a moderately expensive lab for a couple hundred thousand dollars with a good biochemist was released 5 years ago by the university in Australia. That's the kind of stuff I think about. So I'm not saying there couldn't be a doomsday, but most of this doomsday stuff is what we're doing to ourselves, is what we've produced ourselves. It's not because the Mayans said it was the end of the world in 2012, and I'm not saying this stuff's going to get released this year. I'm saying we're sitting on top a keg of dynamite playing with matches, and it's not smart. More news, your calls.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
The immortal Dave Mustaine, angry again. All I've got to do is look at my children and think about all the stuff we have to go through to keep them away from GMO, the bisphenol A, and the fact that it's almost impossible to do it, and that the system is purposefully trying to give us all sorts of illnesses so they can then, like drug dealers, get us addicted to all their big pharma. That makes me get angry again. But I'm not somebody to just get angry and just sit around. And I know you're not, and that's why you listen to this broadcast. I'm here to take action. And by the way, we've got some good news coming up. They're now reporting that the Internet Takeover Bill, SOPA, is dead on arrival because of just absolute backlash And the system never wants to teach the public that they have power. In fact, that is such a key point that the globalists never want to give us a chance to meet them head on, to meet them straight on. The same thing happened two Thanksgivings ago, one of the biggest flight days of the year, a year and a half ago or so, the National Opt-Out Day. And all over the country, people were refusing to body scan. So for 2 weeks, they just turned off all the body scanners, and even the Washington Post, weeks after we reported on it, admitted that there was a stand down. Now, I thought terrorism is so imminent that they've got to get that old lady to stand up who can't stand up in a wheelchair. They've got to take that colostomy bag off that old man. They've got to rip that urology bag off the lady. They've got to put their hands in the pants and go into the body of Miss USA in Dallas. They've got to go in the pants of a one-year-old baby and fondle them. They've got to do it to keep you safe. But for 2 weeks, they completely stood down because they didn't want to give you a chance to say no and show your power. And I had told my IT people that January 18th, in fact, we were getting ready to make the announcement today that we were going to go black, go dark, turn the lights off. On InfoWars, we're going to leave Prison Planet up and have it all direct to one article about SOPA. And you know what? I think I still may do that, but have an article about why they never want to give us a chance to actually fight them. Because if we would have had Google and Wikipedia and Reddit, all started by Reddit, leading the way, and InfoWars and maybe even Drudge, turn off that day, that would show people that the internet is built by independent news agencies and systems, and that we have the power to boycott the entire system if they try to kill it incrementally. And that would have shut them down and defeated them. So now they said, just 2 weeks ago, it's going to pass. You can't stop us. We've got, you know, 100 plus votes more than we need in the House, a lot more votes we need in the Senate, you know, 30 plus votes. They were saying it will pass. None of this is true. Just like GoDaddy a month ago. And we had, by the way, the guy that started that boycott on, Frederick, IT professional himself. They don't ever, I mean, at first they sent him emails and said, so what, do whatever you want, you're having no effect on us. And then they were brought to their knees. And other companies were brought to their knees by the people taking action and exercising their power. So the system never wants you to have a chance to win a fight. They never want you to get in the arena as, you know, a 12-year-old in golden gloves and win your first bout. Because that's going to build your confidence. They never want to build your confidence. They just want you to lose and lose and lose and lose. Same thing. They passed the National Defense Authorization Act. But then they tried to say it doesn't affect citizens. We forced them to admit it did. Then they said, oh, well, don't worry, the president won't sign it, so that we couldn't build opposition. Then he did sign it. Then he said, well, I sign it, but reluctantly, I won't use this power I've got to grab you and put a black bag over your head and have you disappear. But then we've got Santorum in a clip I played yesterday saying, we'll kill U.S. citizens if we want. Of course they will. And Lindsey Graham, that creepy guy, all of them. Because, look, they want these illegal powers, but they don't want to have a face down at high noon with us. So the point is, they don't really have those powers. You can pass tyranny, it doesn't legalize it, but you've got to be able to implement it. You've got to be able to then use it. Just claiming you're king of the universe doesn't make it so. You can walk into the, you know, into some big church and walk up to the biggest, meanest looking guy and say, I can kick your hind in. Until you've taken him out in the parking lot and actually kicked his butt, you haven't actually done that. Talk is cheap. You can walk up as a rodeo rider to the biggest, meanest, baddest, vicious bull that's stomped people's guts out and never been ridden. 8 seconds. And say, I can ride that bull. Let's see you do it then. It was easy for George W. Bush, never in combat, chicken hawk with all these deferments to keep him in the Air National Guard. It's easy for him to say, bring it on to the insurgents and watch U.S. troop number of death skyrocket. Yeah, it's real easy when you're not in the arena to say, bring it on. By the way, the guys were having trouble finding that headline because I was calling it a manufactured doomsday. That's how my memory screws things up. In the New York Times, it's an engineered doomsday. A engineered doomsday is the New York Times. Scientists have long worried that an influenza virus that has ravaged poultry and wild birds in Asia might evolve to pose a threat to humans. Now scientists, financed by the National Institutes of Health, have shown in a laboratory how that could happen. In the process, they created a virus that could kill tens or hundreds of millions of people if it escaped confinement or was stolen by terrorists. Standing ovations for Dr. Peter Singer, Dr. Eric Pianka, and countless others at top academies of science events that have been covered in the news. When they talk about releasing an airborne weapon to reduce the population, they get standing ovations. Who do you think are eugenicists? Who do you think the system chooses to give the PhDs and doctorates in this? Why don't you, wherever you live, near a major university, go sit in on Dr. Eric Pianka, 5 miles from where I sit. He has classes. You can go sit in them. And go in there and stop him after class and ask him if 90% of us should be killed. And then find out where his graduate students are working. They're working in BioShield. They're working on this. And they send me emails routinely attacking me with links to who they are, and they're very proud of themselves, you know, saying, how can you deny humans are a parasite and need to be eradicated? It's like I'm the crazy person, and I'm bad to talk about their rock star. I get these emails, Dr. Pianka and Dr. Singer and Ted Turner and the UN, they're rock stars. Oh, yeah. And you know what? I mean, you read about Pianka, the Texas Academy of Sciences, standing ovations, people crying when he talks about how they're going to kill 90% of us. That's who these people are. Why don't you just randomly go into go hear the head of the psychology department in a university when they teach classes and go sit in. And then if they don't talk about eugenics or population reduction or anti-family stuff while you're there, ask them. Go to one of their speeches and then ask them in the question and answer their view on it. You'll find 9 out of 10 conservatively are flaming anti-human eugenicists who are ultra creepy and ultra sick and who are part of an anti-human eugenics cult that runs society. And all of this psychological warfare and the propaganda and the obsession with celebrities, all of it, they admit in hundreds of published books by them, is completely manufactured and fake and designed to screw you up and designed to take away your basic survival instinct. So I want to talk about 2012. I don't think it's the end of the world because the winged serpent that the Mayans worship said so. By the way, the Mayans didn't even say that. It's a new age, they believed, a new hearth. The fire is put out, and a new hearth is ignited. So they believe a sun is going to be turned off and turned back on. What do you want to guess that December 25th or whatever it is, what's the date it's supposed to all end this year? December 27th? December 21st, okay. I started a film years ago about it and just decided not to even release it. It was super powerful, would have made a ton of money, but I don't even care about making money. I am going to probably do like a 30-minute special report, though, with a powerful title and just put the stinking thing out for free. But if I don't charge, though, it won't get 20 million views. See, if I charge for it for a month or so and then release it, it'll get 20 million views. If I give it away, it'll get 1 million. People don't appreciate stuff that's for free. Don't ask me why. I guess because usually in life, there's no such thing as a free lunch. But see, I'm trying to stop an engineered doomsday. So I guess it isn't a free lunch. It's self-preservation. I don't want my kids dying when the globalists who are all obsessed with killing us release this stuff. Airborne weaponized smallpox, airborne weaponized mousepox, airborne weaponized Ebola, airborne weaponized hemorrhagic fever, airborne weaponized variants of bird flu, on and on and on. And I watch governments and corporations running around, all building giant underground bunkers, multi-years power supplies, underground nukes, own water supplies, and in their own publications talking about the end will soon be here, the world without humans, all the TV shows preparing the public for mass death and the population being reduced so that we have a racial, psychological memory, a false memory, a self-fulfilling prophecy that this is supposed to happen, so we'll all just crawl into our basements with our kids and die when they release this stuff, and then they reemerge with the cure 3 years later and have this new golden age they dream about all day with the hundreds and hundreds of quotes about how beautiful the Black Plague was, killing roughly one-third to a half of Europe, they're not sure, and how that spurred the Renaissance. It spurred the Renaissance because the elite got wiped out. And there weren't all these total monopolies anymore. It screwed up feudalism. And people had to pay for valuable services more. I mean, they're always glorifying the Black Plague since the time of Malthus. And from an economics view, they don't even know why the Black Plague caused a giant renaissance. Because the farmer people and the wives' tales were practicing witchcraft, which was eating garlic and other herbs, and they were hiding out in the woods and knew what was killing them, while the elite stayed in the cities and died. That's why we had a renaissance, because the elite got killed, not because it killed one-third to half. Again, the historians vary. It may have been more than half. When that Black Plague-filled ship landed in Italy coming from Asia. And they'd killed most of the cats, believing they were demon-possessed, so the rat population exploded. There have been many Black Plague introductions into Europe, Central, Northern, Southern Europe. Rus, Russia, the red-haired people, Rus, Red. There had been many introductions into that area, but they'd killed most of the cats. And so the rat population was out of control, and what were the rats carrying? They were carrying the fleas. And you know the rest of the story. You know the rest of the story, don't you? And of course, that was a system that killed between a third and half of those that came in contact with it. Now they've got weaponized bubonic plague. Oh, that's a horrible way to go. But, you know, we have nursery rhymes about it. In fact, let's not go out with angry again. We already played it. Let's go out with just a nursery rhyme. Go to YouTube, type in Ring Around the Rosy. Ring around the rosy. What's it say? Pocket full of posy. Ashes to ashes, we all fall down. Ring around the rosy, the little rosy spot that's going to be a big rot hole in your face. Ashes to ashes, we all fall down. The globalists, you can see the preparatory phase, are getting everyone ready to ring around the rosy. Ashes to ashes, we all fall down. And you know what? I don't want to go. I don't want a bunch of globalists to release this stuff and go dig in underground. And all these shows on History Channel, Discovery Channel, PBS, on the end caps at grocery stores, you know, the audio book about the world after humans and how beautiful it's going to be and how great it's going to be. I mean, I don't like these psychos flaunting it in front of my face like I'm too stupid to hear what they're saying. No, I got you. Roger, roger. All right. I'm going to give the number out when we come back from break. When I start the second hour, I'll start going to your calls. I'll take calls the entire second hour and for 30 minutes into the third with news, but I haven't even gotten into the other news yet because all of this at the end of the day becomes a distraction. It's all important, and I can get into sociology, human, because knowing ourselves is the key to turning this around. I can always look at it from an anthropology, psychology view, any article, and show how the media spins it or how they make us focus on distractions. The Iran stuff's huge. Huntsman dropping out's pretty big. This ship, another example in disasters. You can't trust governments to take care of you or protect you over and over again throughout history. So why are they always so obsessed with you not protecting yourself? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a lot more coming up today, but I just wanted to get into the big issues here for everybody. Isn't that nice? Ring around the rosy. We'll come back from break with that. Yeah, crank it up. It's all fun. It's a fun children's song. Ring around the rosy.
Father sent his daughter to fetch a pail of water. At you, we all fall down.
We all fall down. Isn't it fun? We'll be right back.
Ring around the rosy, a pocket full of posies. Ashes, we all fall down.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
All right, we are back, and we've got a big hour of phone calls and news coming up. I'm going to give you the toll-free number on any of the issues that I have raised here today. Man, it's hard to turn that deep purple off. Tell you what, just go ahead and crank it up for a minute, and I'll give the number out. We are back live, and we are here Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. I love life, and I love freedom, and I'm here to fight for it. What about you? You know, I run into so many people that say they feel disempowered, that life seems empty, they don't have purpose. Because you're following what the global controller, zombie, prostitute, corporate whore media has programmed into you. Look at the most fulfilled people out there. They're adventurers, or they're rescue divers, or they're athletes, or they're people that help the poor. Why do you think so many wealthy people throughout history give away everything and go to Africa to be in, you know, in bug-infested areas to help poor people? Because that's what fulfills them, not because they're goody two-shoes, but because that's what fills their soul. We are creators. We are meant to explore. We are meant to paint. We are meant to sculpt. We are meant to build. We are meant to love. We are meant to fight. We are meant to face bullies. I am so fulfilled. I have so much energy that I hate myself because my life is so good, so wonderful, and isn't one-tenth of my potential. I can see over the horizon and see my potential and know that we, with this show alone, with you, the listeners, could change the course of human destiny, but I cannot mount the words or the calculations or the organizational skills to put the plan into function. We have seen a shadow of what we can do, and all of you are capable as well. I want you to rise up in the info war. I want you to start YouTube channels. I want you to start local access shows. I want you to start a local Sunday radio show. Those are all entry points. Maybe some of you've got the money, the cultural skills, whatever, to get a national show. It's up to those of you. I mean, I know the people that are listening. Incredibly famous classical musicians, rock stars, movie stars, and 9 times out of 10 they contact me and they say, "We just want to thank you that you're out there. We listen every day." And then I talk to these people, and they're just as smart as I am, or smarter. I talked to a famous musician, extremely famous. His dad is the most famous musician. Oh, that says too much. I'm just going to leave it right there. And as smart as I am, or smarter, and knows all of this, but isn't talking about it. look, we need everybody in this fight, ladies and gentlemen. Alex Jones isn't going to beat the New World Order all by his lonesome. I'll ensure you of that. And I know I'm preaching because it's all coming down. It's all admitted, the world government's out in the open, everything. Here's the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. I've seen the phones ringing the whole time I've been on. Phones weren't open, folks. They're open now. 800-259-9231. Coming up, U.S. military chief to Israel as Iran tension grows. Big news on the campaign trail. And a lot more. Stay with us. Second hour straight ahead.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right. Coming up, the latest on the economy. Also, Paul Hader's caught planning to dress up as KKK. Poses Paul's supporters. The media here in Texas, newspapers and local talk radio, are criticizing a 15-year-old girl for defending herself with a firearm in her own house. That's all coming up. The big story, of course, is the ongoing latest developments and machinations with Iran. It's all coming up. But right now, let's go to your calls. Jonathan in Kansas says he disagrees. So we'll go to him first, then Chad, Laura, Dan, and others. Jonathan, you're on the air.
Yes, Alex, what I disagree, it's not like a big disagreement. It's actually like specifics. Like you had one day, you had that one woman to talk about the bioweapons facilities and whatnot, and you said it was in Missouri. It's actually in Kansas. It's in northeastern Kansas. And what's interesting is the reason they put it in was basically to fight against diseases with animals.
Okay,
like,
sir, there's over 200 BioShield bases in the U.S. They're all over the state of Kansas and Missouri. And, of course, under BioShield, they claim it's to fight against diseases. But even in the New York Times and Washington Post, they say, why are they making new weaponized things? It's been well known that it's illegal to have a bioweapons program. So the people that run the U.S. do it under the guise of fighting bioweapons. That's always been a fraud.
I wasn't disagreeing with what your analysis is. My point was, the reason why specifically they put that there is, let's say something releases, and in Kansas, one of the main things is cattle. And cattle, we're like ranked seventh in what, cattle production and meat and beef. So if one of those diseases gets released, they can wipe out the food supply.
Oh, yeah, they were going to have drills with the original equipment used to kill millions of cows and sheep in England in the weaponized foot and mouth outbreak that it was later admitted the government released. They claimed a terrorist in the government must have done it, but nobody got caught. In a couple-day period, it popped up in hundreds of spots around the country. It had been pre-planted everywhere, and the government used it as a huge power grab. They were going to come to Texas and other states. That was a big brouhaha. And do drills for foot and mouth with the very equipment used to kill the cattle. And, of course, bring the foot and mouth here. It's all just part of insanity. But, I mean, what do you disagree with then?
Well, that was one thing. But the other thing was about 9/11. The plan Operation Northwoods is actually older than that. If you look at Operation Anvil, one of the Kennedys died in that operation, and that's when they had drone planes. They were testing that since then. That's actually older than the Operation Northwoods.
Now, I've talked a lot about Joe Kennedy Jr. dying, and he was flying a one-man aircraft behind, I believe it was a Liberator, loaded with explosives, as a unmanned drone, and they don't know what happened to him. They think the Germans shot him down. But yeah, that was a program. But Northwoods itself is a plan from 1962 to stage terror attacks in America and blame it on Cuba and the Soviets. And it was greenlighted. So I don't think we disagree. I appreciate your call. Every time they have a police state military checkpoint, they say, this is the first time we've done this. Your town is very special. They found that psychologically, they say it's the first time that locals feel honored somehow. It's the first time we've stuck you in a meat grinder, but it's never the first time. Even when they've done it repeatedly, it's always the first time. It's always, we're putting this in Kansas to keep you safe in case there's a bioweapon released to protect your livestock in this area. The facilities are the threat. They put a level 4 in the University of Texas facility in Galveston that got wrecked in a hurricane a few years ago. They're putting level 4s in level 2 facilities. They're putting the most deadly stuff in the world in tin cans.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, so there's a Google employee, they're busy starting revolutions all over the world, connected to creating a plan to dress up people like members of the Ku Klux Klan and have them go out and support Ron Paul as a way to destroy him. I'm going to get Paul Watson and our reporters to tie this in to the entire history of this that's gone on before. There's an article out of InRun News that breaks it down and actually has a photo of the guy. Paul haters caught planning to dress up as KKK, pose as Paul supporters. So we're going to definitely get our own report on that out because our report is going to tie into the fact that folks connected to the Democrat that Rand Paul ran against in Kentucky, they got caught doing similar things. So we're going to get a report out on that right now. I also, after I take some more calls, want to get into human blunders seen at the heart of Italy ship disaster. Every time a ship runs aground, every time there's a disaster, a Katrina, the government can't and won't help you, and then comes into the high and dry areas in Katrina and takes people's firearms. Over and over and over again. And so why do you think government can protect you? And then the people at the top of government are a bunch of anti-human eugenicists funded and financed by a bunch of predatory, parasitic, finance oligarch, Ponzi scheme, fiat currency, derivative selling scam artist. Okay, that's enough. I'm getting to all of it and the Iran news. But right now, let's go ahead and talk to Laura in Minnesota. You're on the air, Laura.
Hi, Alex. I just wanted to thank you for your patriotism because it's just incredible the work that you're doing and just a sincere thank you.
Well, thank you.
Alex, I do believe that the New World Order or whoever these powers will use the hysteria and the hype and the media for 2012 to stage a false flag attack. I think they actually may even use a big venue, God forbid, but there's an Illuminati card out that shows Big Ben being destroyed, and we know the Olympics are in London this year, that could set off.
By the way, if we have new listeners, the guy that came up with the Illuminati cards in the early 90s has basically everything that's happened in the cards. And it's really creepy. We've done special reports on that. And he lives in Austin. And I know we called like a year ago to get him on. They said, well, he's out of town for a month, but call back then. I want to get that guy on. I absolutely want to get the maker of the Illuminati cards. He has a video game company here in Austin. We'll go after him. I want him. Or I want to go over to his office and bang on the door and demand to talk to him. I mean, he lives here in Austin, and I've had enough of this. He's coming on, or we're going over there. I'm sorry, ma'am. Go ahead. I just wanted to fill in what you were talking about for new listeners.
Right. So I would see that as a world stage where they could have this attack orchestrated, and yet then as they've already circled the wagons around us with this defense authorization bill and all these FEMA caps and everything, and use the hysteria and use all of this. And so it wouldn't necessarily be the end of the world, but it would certainly be the end of the world as we know it. On top of that, as a Christian, we know that there's prophetic events that could be coming as well. And if you take that as well as what could happen with these false flag attacks, it could be such a mess that they would declare martial law. And, you know, they've already said that Obama needs something like that in order to get a second term, needs some kind of attack or something like that. So he could eventually declare martial law, and there might not even be an election.
Well, any of that is possible. And again, I'm not saying 2012 won't be a wild year with Iran, war talk, the economy melting down. But the globalists have planned for a long time right around this period to have a lot of craziness go on. And so, they plan on saying it's the end of the world, so people go along with whatever happens and feel powerless. I mean, do you get my angle on that?
I do, and I think that they are going to use it. It's too good of an opportunity for them to not play the people and to not use the hysteria, and they're just going to take advantage of it.
I tend to agree with you. It's going to be a crazy year. Strap yourselves in. Thank you so much, Laura. Appreciate that call. Dan in Florida, you're on the air. Thanks for holding as well.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to kind of give you a news tip. You probably already know stuff like this, but I'm in Tampa, and I went out hunting in a remote area with a friend of my stepdad who's a Tampa police officer, and he said that his superiors told him to get out, to make sure that all of his family and everybody that they knew were out of the city August 27th through the 30th, and that extremist groups like Anonymous were going to hack into the police communication system, so that the police couldn't respond to crime, and then they're going to, you know, then Anonymous and other groups were going to commit senseless acts like dropping bricks off of on cars from overpasses. And stuff.
All right, let me get those dates again. What did this senior police officer tell you?
He told me that his superiors said to them during the Republican National Convention. Now, he didn't tell me the dates. I just know the dates of the Republican National Convention, August 27th or the 30th. He told them, you know, make sure that the family and nobody is near the city of Tampa during that time.
Well, no, I didn't know about that. But again, this is how mindless this gets. And I want to explain this as simply as I can. I know some people do understand what I'm saying. They just act like they don't to be trolls. But take Anonymous or take something like people wearing Guy Fawkes mask, or take Occupy Wall Street. These are always either things that come from individual activists that get picked up and become popularized, or they're issues put out by the Ford Foundation, George Soros, i.e. Occupy Wall Street, that's completely nebulous. You know, we're mad at Wall Street, which is a generalization. Then it turns out the big banks are actually financing it directly through Soros and others on record to demonize the rest of Wall Street and the rest of the free market, so it takes the blame, and so the big mega banks hooked up with government can come in with regulators backed up by the dumbed down mass that doesn't know what's going on and take over what's left of the free market, which was never the problem. It was crony insiders that did it. Then when you criticize Occupy as, oh, just come protest, we don't know what about, then the operators can come in from Soros and Ford Foundation, take it over, and then basically hijack a revolution they know is already coming. They kind of pre-detonate revolutions before they get there so they can steer them and misdirect them. It's like Red Adair blowing up an oil well with dynamite. It's a controlled explosion, and this gets into the social engineering, and they write white papers on it. Now, it's the same thing with Anonymous. Anonymous, attacks Ron Paul. Anonymous says they were going to hack so that the votes could all be counted in Iowa in secret. It turned out there was fraud in Iowa, and it was admitted on Fox News that, oh, well, we had a gentleman's agreement because all these key districts didn't come in, and we just made Santorum second place instead of Ron Paul. And it's just in your face, but because it's a little complex, the public just kind of tunes out because they're trained to just receive data, not to learn the fun of actually being informed. People think thinking is hard. No, not thinking's hard. It's dull. So it's the same issue, sir. I mean, Anonymous, just to finish, is just this giant cutout that then Homeland Security and others who've been caught doing this can cyber attack their own systems to then have an excuse to come in and take over the internet, pass the SOPA bill. Israel's being hacked right now. The government used the Stuxnet last year to call for internet censorship when the government admits they launched Stuxnet. So again, only a dumbed down public. Think of the disdain the system has that they would say Israel and the U.S. launched Stuxnet, and 6 months later, we got to take your rights because of Stuxnet. A terrorist launched it. I mean, I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead and make your point.
I was just going to say, I mean, it was completely obvious to me that they were sort of, you know, creating this hysteria, and of course, they'll use it as a pretext for something. But I was going to say one thing further that, you know, just for the new listeners out there, because I remember once upon a time I was, and I doubted some of the things that you said. You know, obviously, I still check, you know, on some of the stuff you say. But his superiors told, they told all of the officers not to go on any quote-unquote extremist websites or the government will be, quote, in your computer. You know, I mean, this they're creating this whole hysteria, and they're, you know, obviously they're trying to get the police on.
Well, that's even bigger news than than they're going to have anonymous. I mean, look, this is so important. It's in my film, The Takeover. The government on record with foundations hired about 100 anarchists, flew them in by aircraft, and allowed them to demolish everything, and the cops were told to stand down. This was in the local newspapers. And then 2 days after that, the media is like, why don't you do something? And so they attack the peaceful crowds, including men, women, and children. I mean, they play police like you're leading a two-year-old off the side of a cliff. I mean, cops, you got to be smarter than this, where they sit there and they tell them, Anonymous is going to attack, so you don't visit sites. That's saying we don't trust you. You're bad. No, we don't want you to know. I mean, cops have got to be smarter than that, that the system is afraid of police waking up. I mean, does your friend that you were hunting with, does he buy this?
You know, Alex, I tried to talk to him and tried to educate him. It's, you know, it's somebody who's never really seen the other side of this or really can't see through the matrix, and you know, it was very difficult. So I don't know.
He thinks he better not visit sites or the government will be in his computer without a warrant, and he thinks having his Fourth Amendment violated is a good thing.
Well, on his computer I brought up your website and showed him the NDAA, so he's probably on the list already.
We're all on. Listen, they can't get all of us unless we get scared and give in to them. Was there anything else he added that you want to point out?
No, but I just wanted to say I'm going to work the early voting for Ron Paul. Guys, get out there and volunteer at local campaigns.
Well said, well said.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
You know, I try to cover stuff in a simple way sometimes, and I tend to not do it. The point is, anytime something's anonymous and people are wearing masks, that's perfect for government infiltration. Or anytime there's no leadership of something, and anytime the ideas of an organization aren't openly available, that's where you find globalist infiltration. If it's some militia wants to meet with you in camo, but they won't tell you their names. It's feds, folks. If people are saying something's anonymous, it's the feds looking for morons that they can set up. Looking for people. I mean, I can't tell you how many cases I've seen, even the Washington Post and others have admitted this goes on, where the government goes and gets ex-prisoners who were forced to, you know, join Islam or whatever in prison or be gang raped, basically, because if you're not part of one of the gangs, well, you know what happens to you. And normally, it's always the same story. Single-parent family, 78 IQ, mildly retarded, poor person, serious handicaps, whatever the case is, mental disabilities. And you hear on the news, they were planning to wage war against America. And it's just a complete cutout. And I couldn't imagine being a police officer and being told, watch what websites you go to, because the government's watching you. That's the tyranny right there. I mean, I remember 10 years ago, oh, they'll never secretly arrest citizens. Now they're on the news going, we will kill you. We won't just arrest you, we'll kill you without a warrant. They're overthrowing all of the checks and balances. For a reason. Now, that's another big question I should throw out to listeners. Why do you think they're overthrowing the Bill of Rights and Constitution right now? And if we don't need it, if it's such a bad thing, why'd we have it before? Well, the answer is they're getting ready to bring us into a full depression and rob everybody blind. The depression is the plan. The people running the society want the depression to consolidate control. They're not screwing things up. They're not incompetent idiots. They know what they're doing. It's all public. They're consolidating control. If you don't go along with their program, and if they don't think they can carry out the next phase of this, they'll back off and wait for us to go back to sleep. But now they figured out that's not going to happen, so they're accelerating it, it looks like, even though we're waking up. And that's why the big confrontation is on. This is an incredible time to be alive right now. And every person you wake up is key. They're telling cops don't visit alternative websites because they're scared they're going to wake up. They're scared they're going to go to Infowars.com where we collate the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune, the El Paso Times, and then our article from 8 months before. Like, look, we told you the government's shipping in narcotics and laundering hundreds of billions. Here's our report, exactly the same group. Now here they are 8 months later, forced to report what we told you. They're afraid of the incredible credibility. They're afraid of the fact that I know they're criminals at the top, that you know, and that they're going to know. Nick in Brooklyn, you're on the air. Welcome.
Alejandro Revere. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I like that. Alejandro Revere. Good, my friend.
I've been practicing that for quite a while. Alex, it's great to talk to you. I just want to tell you how thankful and grateful, and I'm sure I speak for a whole lot of people, particularly in Brooklyn and Manhattan, New York, wherever, that thank you for all the work that you're doing and for getting this information out there. Alex, I wanted to touch on a point. First of all, I just wanted to say that I love Ron Paul. I absolutely love the man. And the establishment media is absolutely ignoring him. They are working overtime.
They are running around like insane piranhas on methamphetamine and PCP attacking him.
Absolutely. And they can't, you know, it amazes me because they have nothing that they can grab onto except some letters that they say he signed and or some have to do with, you know, these letters and calling him a racist and all that. But yet they ignore the fact. They ignore the fact that his ideas transcend everything that has to do with race or just every spectrum across the board. Because if we don't have liberty in order to be able to, share our ideas or share whatever it is that we may believe, we don't have that. And that resonates with
I tell you what, stay there. You're on a roll. I want you to be able to finish because I interrupted you. Exactly. Ron Paul is completely about who you are, not what color you are or where you came from. I mean, the system that claims they're fighting racism, that's all they obsess on all day, and then they make that people's entire world. Ron Paul is about the end of all of that. Stay there. I'll come right back to you, Nick.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Let's go back to Nick in Brooklyn. Start over, Nick, with your point about Ron Paul. Go ahead.
Basically, what I'm trying to say is that every morning I get up and I go through the rigors of what we all get, you know, get ready for work, all that stuff. You turn on the TV to find out the weather, and of course they roll by what's been happening in the campaigns. And we realize that they have everybody up there, okay, even the janitor who was cleaning up the where they had the debates, except Ron Paul. And I'm saying to myself, well, wait a minute. You know, here's a candidate who actually has something to say, who doesn't need a teleprompter, who's able to pinpoint the exact problems that this country is facing right at this pivotal moment. And they give him, they don't show him, they don't speak. You know, they have, it's like he has, it's like he doesn't exist.
And I'll tell you what this is. This is a coming of age, though, because just when you think you know how corrupt the system is and the establishment is, you get slapped in the face with, no. It's only when their facade really starts getting exposed that they really show you that it's beyond bias. It is a total arrogance, but more than that, a fear that you'll discover the monopoly that they're running over our society and that they don't want you making decisions. And when Ron Paul, the only non-puppet candidate, stands up, it calls their entire bluff. He exposes the little man behind the curtain, the Wizard of Oz, the great and powerful Oz, and they cannot allow him to win. So they will cheat, they will steal, they will manipulate, they'll give him 89 seconds, they'll block him out, and when they're forced to talk about him, they'll say he can't win. But and that's why Ron Paul, you know, basically was giddy when he came in second place in New Hampshire. Was he pointed out he's winning just by exposing what a bunch of crooks they are. The system is really destroying its capital. In fact, I saw a Krauthammer article out of the Chicago Tribune I was going to mention where he's so angry that Ron Paul won't go away. In fact, here it is. Ron Paul is not going to go away. And he goes on to break down, you know, the fact that whether they like it or not, the system is in trouble. Again, they were able to block him out before, but because he understands history and he keeps coming, they don't know what to do. Look, they've got a 9% approval rating. Can you imagine the horrible job of the dinosaur mainstream media? No matter how expensive their sets, how fancy their outfits, how authoritatively they speak, even if you've got a gold water hose spewing rotten water out, nobody's going to want to drink out of it. They're going to want to drink out of the old rubber hose that's got good clean water coming out of it. And so they've got a gold water hose into a cesspit, into a porta potty with brown sludge shooting out, telling us to take a drink, and their numbers are folding. For a decade, their numbers have been dissipating, but now the last bit of water is going around the toilet bowl there. It's about to make the sound that all the water's been exhausted. And they realize it. And so we're now at that critical juncture. What is this ruling class and all of their minions and all of their court gestures and all their little pimps and sellouts and whores? What are they going to do as their system comes down? Well, they're going to try to bring in tyranny. They're going to try to launch wars. They're going to stage terror attacks. Because it's about tens of trillions of dollars. It's about social control. It's about staying on top. And more importantly, it's about not going to jail. If we actually ever take the government back, the crimes are going to be so legion and so huge that we can't give the globalists an amnesty. We can't say, okay, just go away. They're too well dug in. We're going to have to send the entire superclass that's committed crimes to prison. It's about 6,000 of them. And those that were directly involved in killing innocents are going to have to be brought up on murder charges. Capital, premeditated murder charges. And they're going to have to be brought to justice. You have to teach people like this a lesson. I'm not risking my life, my treasure, my name to just sit up here and play patty cake with these people. When we get this country back, these people will be brought to justice, and they know it. They know it. And they understand it. They understand it's for everything. I'm fighting for my life. They're fighting for theirs. Okay? And just like Mussolini and Hitler, they know we're coming for them, and they know we're not going to back off. But it doesn't matter. They are culturally and socially dying now. They have a 9% approval rating. Can you imagine, Nick, the job they've got trying to... You've heard the saying, put perfume on a pig. This isn't putting perfume on a pig. This is putting perfume on a latrine. I mean, you cannot do it. It is there is no going back. There is no way out for them. I've looked at every angle. I mean, look, and by the way, you globalists out there and all your minions and servants, those of you that are mid-level, this New World Order is going to be worse for you if it succeeds. It's so horrible. You better hope those of us that have sanity are able to eradicate this cancer that's going into stage four. You better hope. Oh, you didn't study history. You see, that's the problem. They didn't study history. Go ahead and finish up, Nick.
Yes, Al, I just wanted to bring up one more point with you. a couple of years ago, there was a gentleman by the name of George Galloway, and you interviewed him back in 07. I was online and I was looking at some of the stuff that you guys went over on that interview. But the reason that I bring him up is because I was really, really impressed at the fact that Mr. Galloway went to work on the Congress during the last administration. And the whole cover up, the whole oil for food program, that whole scenario, and so he's got somewhat of a little show that he has where he broadcasts directly here into the New York City area and over from where he's at in England, and I called him up because I realized that his position on Ron Paul was somewhat shrewd. And so, I call him up and I say to him, Mr. Galloway, listen, what exactly is it about Ron Paul that you don't like, and the fact that you would rather take Obama over Ron Paul? I mean, do you realize that under this administration, the NDAA Act has been passed? I mean, it's a done deal. Are you familiar with the fall of the Republic? Are you familiar with the Obama deception? I mean, it lays it out there very, very clearly for us exactly what this administration is about. But he would rather take this administration over any of the other dwarves, as he calls them, and any of the other dwarves, as he calls them. And, I was very, I was somewhat offended at that. So the reason I bring him up is because I realized that his whole position against the war at the time and everything that took place, he was very, very against it. And so this is exactly Ron Paul's platform. He's against the wars.
But here's the deal with Galloway, and I would have him back on the show. We've asked him a few times, and he hasn't responded. I know he's very busy. He is pretty much a socialist, and they would rather have their big corporate socialism that Obama will give them and go ahead and have some big wars than give up the socialist idea. I mean, Ron Paul is a revolutionary. The idea of local control, the idea of small government, when we're so addicted, and look, it gets worse and worse, but it's the devil we know. So a lot of people are scared to get out of that. I appreciate your call. Great points. Let's try to move really quick here because I want to start getting into some news. Alexion in Oregon, you're on the air.
Alex, good day, sir.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, winners, Fox News propaganda agents. Number one in slander, Bill O'Reilly. You are a coward, sir. And to the whore media, 50 Pentagons all in a row, 50 prisons to keep us in tow. 50 wardens with men in black, 50 flags now in a stack. 50 years have now gone by, 50 years of many lies, vicious lies. 50 trillion is not enough. 50 trillion, it's all their stuff. 50 billion is the goal, 50 billion poor lost souls. 50 million will stand and roar. 50 million pissed off poor. We're keeping score. God help us all, Alex.
I appreciate your call. The Pentagon actually gets around 2 trillion a year. Oh, but you never hear about cutting that welfare and those $800 toilet seats and $500 hammers or the $15 million blue tarps that cost $100 for Halliburton. But again, back during the no-bid contracts in 04, 05, 06, they would have newscasts on CNN, you name it, saying, how dare people say there should be foreign companies allowed to bid on these contracts? That was a straw man. It wasn't foreign companies. It was that there were no bid contracts being given to domestic and foreign companies. So instead of say, why is Halliburton that's moved to Dubai, why are they getting no bid contracts and other companies are? They just spun and said, well, of course American companies are getting the bids. We're not going to give it to foreigners. So the average good old boy would say, well, that's reasonable. Give it to American companies. But it wasn't an issue of that. Again, it's such blatant deception. And it's only when they're really desperate. That's why they love to talk about your favorite cake or your favorite color, or your favorite music, because then they don't have to lie as much. They get to tell the truth because it's about an inconsequential issue. But genuinely promoting things they do not engage in. Generally, almost everything you see in mainstream media is spun or twisted or lies by omission. And that's why we shouldn't even call it mainstream media. Even that term, mainstream media. These are global corporations themselves owned by the big mega banks that took over the planet through fraudulent derivatives and Ponzi schemes that would make Bernie Madoff blush and Ken Lay, shake with blushing. They've got all of this going on. All of this corruption, all of these agendas they're selling, and we still call it mainstream media. No, it's agenda media. It's bought and paid for media. I mean, I wear on my sleeve what I support. I wear on my sleeve what I stand for. I wear on my sleeve who my sponsors are. Here's an example. Tyrell Ventura, Jesse Ventura's son, called me Saturday when I was out with the family Saturday evening. And he said, you know, I just noticed something that hadn't been pointed out anywhere. The publisher, and I went and looked it up when I got home that night, it was true. The publisher of that Navy SEAL, you know, legendary, you know, Navy SEAL that killed the most people, which he himself says really isn't true. That's the title they gave it. And that we saw all over every Fox show, Fox Radio, Fox TV, defaming Ventura. News Corp that owns Fox published it. They didn't disclose, by the way, this is our product, whenever they had him on all the shows. And I should have known that. It was an infomercial. And to get sales up, they said he knocked him out in the bar in front of everybody. And now they say, oh, it happened out on the sidewalk. And, well, maybe there aren't witnesses now. And I can tell you Ventura is taking legal action. I'm not supposed to get any more than that. Didn't happen. Just like he wasn't driving recklessly in California when he was in Minnesota. And, folks, they could do anything. They could pull me over today, throw a bag of drugs in the back of my car. Say I resist, knock me on the head. You can even have a good police chief, and I don't know if our police chief's a good man or a bad man. He claims he's a good guy. But in a lot of cities, it's come out that the feds and private corporations will actually have units of cops who actually work for them. It's come out the CIA, since the 50s, has had units of police on any major police department. I'm talking about police departments of more than just a couple hundred officers. But you know what? I've got to just deal with that. I've got to just deal with it, and that's the way it is. Because the rot has gotten so bad, somebody has got to stand up against it. Okay, I'm going to go to break, and I'm going to come back and hit the Iran news. There's been some new developments on that. I want to get some into how the government can't and won't protect you and tie the sinking of that ship off the coast of Italy by the now the reportedly drunk captain with criticism of a 15-year-old girl in her own home that defended herself with a firearm from two burglars. She's being criticized in Texas. I mean, and again, it's over the top, but when people are peer pressure driven, even in a state of freedom like Texas, where we're all about, you know, being individualist and everything, enough people hear the local talk show host, like I did on conservative radio this morning, saying she shouldn't have had a gun at 15. It was her dad's gun, and she shouldn't have access to it. I heard about half the callers driving into work agreeing. See, it's this weird peer pressure thing that if the authority figure says something, we agree with it. Well, what if the authority figure's a bought-off traitor? I mean, I remember my parents warning me growing up, saying, son, you're going to run into friends that aren't really your friends, and they're under peer pressure, going to try to get you to do bad things, and don't do it. And I didn't do too much bad stuff, but still, and now with my children, I try to explain to them constantly about the company you keep and who you're around and peer pressure. And we have got ruthless criminals with a high-tech PR machine running our society, and only people living in a dream world would deny this. Everybody knows we're going in the wrong direction, and it's moving quicker in the wrong direction. Speaking of sponsorship, I won't make $3 or $4 million lying about Jesse Ventura here, defaming him so I can make some money. But what I will do is have sponsors and products that I believe in that also fund our operation. So if you want to support the show, go to Infowars.com. There's an online video/apparel bookstore, video store, T-shirts. You want to meet like-minded people, put a bumper sticker on your car, wear an Infowars.com T-shirt. We got Ron Paul T-shirts, you name it. You can get 15-day free trial at PrisonPlanet.tv and see the nightly news, and also in high-quality, high-def, watch the daily show here. All of it's available at Infowars.com. The Noble Oklahoma City video, the deliberate dumbing-down book about education, all of it. I'm still running the Everything Special, 70%+ off on all my films, 18 films on DVD for $99.95. And I can't really stress this next little point. If you will, go to InfoWarsTeam.com for me, guys. If you go to InfoWarsTeam.com, I'm going to show it to you on screen. You can just buy the products or you can sign up and get a discount. You know, it's kind of like Costco. I did a lot of research, as you know, 6 months or so ago, to find the very best company that has the full spectrum of super high quality mineral vitamin drinks, weight loss, everything. It's thousands of products. This is one of the biggest companies in the U.S., Youngevity. And that's who I've teamed up with. You can go to InfoWarsTeam.com, get the Tangy Tangerine, the Beyond Tangy Tangerine, the Pollen Burst, the Rebound, Citrus Punch, and there's nothing like it. I mean, look, I'd buy stuff out of a store. I'd become a distributor of stuff and sell it myself. That's what I chose, is the best, InfoWarsTeam.com. I've now lost over 30 pounds in 6 weeks. Well, it's amazing. Just find out more at InfoWarsTeam.com.
You look like an angel. Walk like an angel. Talk like an angel. But I got wise. You're the devil in disguise. Oh, yes, you are.
All right.
You fool me with your kiss.
Going back into the news here, I just want to finish up on the Youngevity products. It was actually about a year ago that I signed up and said I was going to start promoting it. And then I got all the products and started having some guests on to talk about it because I'd done the research, but didn't really implement it myself. I did a little bit. Lost like 5 pounds and Aaron Dykes followed it and has lost, I don't know, it's got to be like 50 pounds now. It's ridiculous. I mean, he's gone from being overweight like I was to like being completely skinny now. And it's because you eat and eat and eat because the food has had the minerals and nutrients taken out of it. Most of the soils they're using are depleted. And now I finally, in the last 6 weeks, actually do take the Youngevity whey powder. I actually do take the mineral and vitamin drinks so that I'm not hungry. And it's not that it fills me up calorie-wise. My body doesn't want calories. It wants the nutrients. It's so simple. I mean, and by the way, these products have the highest scores. The ones I've got on the shopping cart are my favorites, have the highest scores out there for vitamins and minerals. And take the Pollen Burst with all of the B vitamins and a bunch of other stuff. The Tangy Tangerine is just a joke, the 90-plus minerals it's gotten and vitamins. I mean, it's amazing. All right, I'm done ranting about that. InfoWarsTeam.com. There's also a phone number there if you want to call and ask any questions on the website. Okay, getting back into the news here. I've already mentioned some of this, but this is our top story yet again. And if we do have war with Iran, you'll find out why it's been our top story for months running. Big developments in that area. U.S. military chief to Israel as Iran tensions grow, AP reports. And the Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Martin Dempsey has gone there to try to talk Israel out of attacking Iran. U.S.-Israel have postponed military exercise amid tension with Iran. Thousands of U.S. troops have been put into Israel, 15,000 added in Kuwait, but they canceled that announcement that they were going to have the Israeli and U.S. fleets steam right in amongst the Iranian fleet. And the Iranians, as you know, 2 weeks ago said, if you do that, this is your last warning. So it looks like the people running the U.S. and Israel, because I don't want to say it's our governments, blinked. And I think the big issue is the Russian foreign minister and the Russian deputy prime minister have all come out and said this is an attack on Russia if you attack Syria or if you attack Iran. And, of course, Syria is going into a total bedlam and civil war because the West has been pumping al-Qaeda by the thousands in. I'm no fan of Assad. I don't like dictatorships and big government. But our criminal government isn't trying to put freedom in there, and I'd be against that meddling. It's unconstitutional. But they're trying to put al-Qaeda in. Came out again last week. The State Department's running the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, these are guys slapping burqas on women's heads. I want to know why all the neocon talk show hosts are saying this is all great to go into Libya. They put al-Qaeda in there. You people helped get the underwear bomber on the plane. It's the Pentagon hanging out with Anwar al-Awlaki. It's NATO putting al-Qaeda in charge of all these countries. Imagine the people that say give your rights up or al-Qaeda will get you. They're the ones behind al-Qaeda. Of course. It's a skeleton key, a Leatherman tool. It opens every lock. It does everything they need. Eat your vegetables. Why? Al-Qaeda will get you. You'll be good or the boogeyman will get you, the Al-Qaeda man. I got a bunch more on this. U.S. backs off Iran attack. U.S. sends letter to Iran on Strait of Hormuz. It's all coming up. But first, I'm going to get to more of your phone calls. Then Bev Harris, the expert on election fraud. She's got big breaking news.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, I want to continue with your calls, but I do need to get into a bunch of news as well. Concerning the TSA, Iran, you name it. Right now, let's go to Nate in New Jersey. Nate, thanks for holding. Welcome. Hi, Nate. Welcome to the airwaves here. Okay, he's gone. Let's go to the next caller. Let's go to Audra in Texas. You're on the air, Audra.
Hi, Alex. This is Audra. I hope everything's going well for you. I've been watching a lot of the news here lately on the Enemy Expatriation Act and kind of monitoring what's going on with Jackson Bannock. I wondered if you had any kind of research or any articles you're planning on putting up on that.
Say that again?
The Jackson Bannock Act. Obama's pushing to do away with that act this year.
To show my ignorance, what is the act? I'm sure once I hear about the act, I'm just not familiar with the name, I'll know what it is.
This is an amendment that was passed in 1974 that affects U.S. trade relations with communist or former communist countries.
Oh, yes, I knew he was trying to get rid of that, yes.
Yeah, I didn't know if you had done any work on this or not.
Does that specifically deal with Cuba?
It deals with China. It deals with Russia. There's a lot in this act that says, for example, action to address market disruption. It's in two parts, and this is in part two.
No, but I mean, now that you raise it, yes, I was aware of the laws barring some of those trade deals. I haven't covered this enough. But my problem with all these trade deals, they're always one way. I know the deal he's trying to get us with South Korea is a total ripoff. I have studied that particular one, but I know I'm not really familiar with this latest jockeying. What is Obama doing?
He just wants to do away with it altogether. And the thing that kind of concerns me about that is in part two, it has an action to address market disruption. And he's talking out of both sides of his neck, as usual, where he's talking about he wants to bring jobs home. But according to this act, anything that causes market disruption, where it's increased quantities that can cause or threaten to cause market disruption to the domestic producers, he's supposed to go in there and keep that from happening, basically, with this act. And that clearly it's not been followed. They haven't been using it. And now he wants to completely get rid of it. And the other act that he's got coming up, and I'll make these quick because I know you got things to do, but the Enemy Expatriation Act, I had been trying to get that information.
Oh, no, that's big. No, that allows them to just take your citizenship away extrajudicially and have you disappear as well. Oh, you're not a citizen, so we're shipping you to Gitmo now.
Yeah, And I mean, I've been trying to get people to wake up and pay attention to this stuff, and I get called patriotic and unpatriotic, you know, and in my assessment of everything, it looks like the Christians have dropped the ball. It really does. And I know you can't say that, but I can say that as a viewer and a listener, I can say that that's what's happened over these last several decades is, you know, we just sit here and complacent and just drop the ball and let them have it. You know?
Well, no, I actually agree with you that, look, to the World Council of Churches and the International Council of Churches set up by the Rockefellers, they admittedly have come in and taken over the major denominations. So you go to church and you learn how good Bill and Melinda Gates are and how good abortion is and how taking your vaccines is good. I mean, that's the clergy response teams. A lot of these churches are actually on government payroll. They use the faith-based initiative to fence that money to them.
Do you realize how much money these churches are going to make once all this hype on 2012, as it gets closer and closer? I mean, the people are going to start packing these churches, and then you've got the other side of that coin where there are people who say, well, you know, according to Revelations, we're not going to be here, so, you know, we don't have to worry about what's coming. And that's
but notice, that's why in the 60s and 70s, all these different globalist writers pushed 2012 was to get the non-Christians to have their own reason to cop out. And I even know people that are agnostics who still believe in 2012. It's more of a superstition. So, yeah, it's tailored for them to think that there's going to be a rapture, so they have nothing to deal with. God bless you. I really appreciate your call. Okay. We're going to go to Rick. We're going to go to Brian and Chad and Nate and many others that are holding on the other side of this break. And I'm going to cover some news, too. Okay, let's rampage through five or six calls right now, and then I really want to get into some of the economic news. Also, the CDC increases pressure on parents to give children vaccines with deadly toxins in them. We're going to be going over that coming up. Also up at Infowars.com, Ron Paul, outrageous overreach of EPA. We've got that report we're going to be going over, but right now let's go to Rick in Virginia. Rick, you're on the air.
Yes, how's it going, Alex? I am a military veteran out here in Norfolk, Virginia, and I've kind of heard you talk about these past couple of days about veterans and the fact that nobody's talking about them and stuff. I want to bring up a point to your listeners that should be the most in-your-face example that everything that you're talking about is true. And that's the fact that 18 military veterans are committing suicide every day. And the insane team, I call it, the media insane team, talks about how 6,000 deaths over the past 10 years over in Iraq and the Middle East, but they don't talk about the 18 military veterans that die every day under the government's control because the VA is part of the federal government. Well, if you do the math, that's 18 times 365, that's 6,570 suicides on our own soil every year. You times that by 10, it's the length of the global war on terrorism. That means that 10 times the amount of deaths are here in America as the entire war on terror over the past 10 years combined.
Well, what you're doing is unpatriotic. According to the media, you're supposed to go to football games and thank the troops when they have them stand up and thank them when you see them on the street. But you're supposed to thank them for being part of the globalist wars. You're not, once they've actually been used up, supposed to care about them. And the government hospitals for the military obviously are some of the worst in the world. The abuse of the military is just incredible. And they just expand out from there on a daily basis, the way our troops are treated. And I do make a big deal about the record suicides I saw a statistic, there's seven times the highest number per capita ever before seen. And that was at the end of the Vietnam War. Seven times. I mean, it is epidemic. But they want to just keep that out of the news and just expand the wars. And, you know, the troops don't want to be patted on the back and told how great they are. They don't want to be in evil wars. They don't want to be sick from DU and nobody gives them treatment so they kill themselves. They don't want to be put on government lists because they're veterans. You know, they don't want the yuppies to come up and thank them all day, you know, because that's the cutesy thing to do. They want their country back. They want Ron Paul to be elected. Again, 70-plus percent, what is it, 74% of all the donations for Democrats and Obama, President Obama, and then all the Republicans is to Ron Paul. The vast majority of donations are to Ron Paul, and the system knows that. And so that's why they're so scared. I mean, the truth is the average American's got their head screwed on actually pretty straight, especially if they live in the real world and, you know, aren't on welfare or something, or just a total TV head. It's just a tiny group of crooks that are up at the top that are running this entire system. I appreciate your call. Let's go ahead and go to Chad in New York. Chad, you're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Jones. How you doing today, sir?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, my friend. Another day above ground is a good day.
Yes, sir. I just want to thank you for leading our people in this time of darkness, okay? And what I mean by that, sir, is that the education that you are dropping on America is needed. And I think that we as Americans need to wake up and take our country back. It's been far too long that we've had crooks and crooked individuals running our country and dictating what policies that they want achieved. And I think that it's people like you that's going to lead us out of the darkness as a country. And I just want to say, Mr. Jones, I haven't been awake that long. I've only been awake for about 6 months, but I'm a cabbie in Long Island, New York. And I've been spreading the word through my cab about your organization and about other organizations and about the truth that needs to be told. We need a new investigation of 9/11. We need these crooks brought to justice, Mr. Jones, by any means necessary. And I am a veteran, too, 82nd Airborne, 4 years I was in the Army, okay? And I want to tell you, sir, I took an oath to defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic, sir. And if it comes to a revolution in this country, you better believe that I will defend the Constitution. That is not an oath taken lightly. And any veteran out there or any military person that is out there needs to understand what that oath means. Okay? There are traitorous people in this country dragging us down to the abyss, Mr. Jones, and I just wanted to say that. I'm sorry you're a busy man, and I do apologize for taking up your time, but, sir, you are a true patriot, and I just want you to know your work is not unappreciated. It is very appreciated, sir. And
well, Chad, God bless you. Please don't apologize for calling in and being passionate and taking time. That's why we're here and taking your calls, but I do appreciate you calling. Look, it hurts, though, every time somebody tells me what a great job I'm doing. I don't know how to explain it. When I was at that barbecue place Saturday night here in Austin, every person behind the counter was a listener. Every person told me they appreciated me. And I watched him, you know, giving my kids bigger servings than other people were getting. And I watched people looking at me when I was sitting down and eating. I'd go to the bathroom. People would say, "Hey, we appreciate what you're doing." When I got up to walk or get some iced tea. And I just looked at, like, young men, old women, black, white, Hispanic, you name it, looking at me and admiring me and holding me up. And it's like, wow, I've got such an incredible responsibility. And I guess it's because I do fight corruption for the right reasons. I mean, I do it because I don't want to be a slave. It's real simple. And I don't want you to be a slave. But I still, to see so many people counting on me, then it almost makes me overthink every step I make and try to do too good a job. I don't know how to explain it. It's very exhausting. It's very, very exhausting. I was in a restaurant a few months ago, and there was a waiter. We were at a steakhouse, had some friends in town, and the waiter comes over and says, I've bought you these drinks and the appetizer. I just want to thank you. And he was like an immigrant from, I think he said, Brazil. And he said, I've lived under corruption. I know what you're saying, is true. I see it happening here. And he had broken English, but he said, I just admire your courage in the face of this evil, how you stomp and smash on everything in your way. And the guy was looking at me with just awe. And I mean, I stomp and smash on everything because I don't have time to be afraid, folks. I don't have time to sit here and worry about what I say and what I do. I mean, it is a passion of work to try to get the news out, to try to not make mistakes, to try to have the same passion in my crew, to try to cover every angle and every facet, and to know that there's always 100 times more news that I can't even get to or properly talk about. Because the mind moves hundreds of times faster than the voice. There's just, I don't know how to explain it anymore. But I hear all these great people counting on us. And look, I count on you. I couldn't do what I do without you. And we're all in this together. And again, it feels good to have people look up to me. It's just that 50% of it feels good, but the other 50 is the responsibility. When you see all these people counting on you, and I realize that a lot of them think that I or my audience, that we're somehow going to turn this around. And I got news for you, folks. It's going to be you that turns it around. And to see the economy hurting, to see so many businesses here in Austin, which is doing better than most areas of the country, shut down, and to see people not having enough money to take care of their families, and to see prosperity being sucked out of this nation. It could all just be turned around if we didn't have these vicious criminals running our society who openly admit that they're at war with prosperity. They don't want you prosperous. They want you super poor, so you're totally dependent on them. It's feudalism. That's how they, in ancient Europe, had control of people. And it is a revolution against free society. The globalists are the revolutionaries. They're the people waging war against society. And as the New World Order unfolds, it does get heavier and heavier. It gets more and more out in the open. And it cuts right to my soul just how real this is. I wish it wasn't. We'll be back. Stay with us. Okay, I want to get into some of the other news here and then more of your calls and Bev Harris. But every time I see articles like this one, it just reminds me that government and big institutions can't and won't protect you. And the idea that government will deliver you your food and your job and your vacation and will make decisions for you, and the idea that that's going to work, is a proven historical fraud. And now that they've added technological overlays to it, it's only made it worse. I mean, I saw an article where thousands of people a year, the LA Times reported, are charged just in mistakes because the government doesn't have their name right. And how in California, the police are exempt and government workers from having their license plates read by license plate reading cameras. Side issue. But I see this article on the Daily Mail. There's one out of Reuters about, you know, chain of arrows cause disaster and in cruise ship sinking. But here's one out of the Daily Mail. I saw Captain drinking in the bar. Passengers accuse arrest officer of socializing before cruise crash and being among first to abandon ship. And I know that does it even matter anymore? It doesn't matter if it's Katrina. It doesn't matter if it's a forest fire. It doesn't matter what it is. The government just generally gets in the way and screws everything up. And then even in a private cruise ship, every time they have one of these big disasters, the captain is drunk as a skunk. And then puts out some big story about how the charts were wrong. I mean, he ran the boat up on the beach. He ran it right into the island. Now, if a captain can screw up like this with 4,000 people on board, and if governments can't help you during Katrina, but they can sure come take your guns in a beta test, how's the government going to protect you if a airborne Ebola or smallpox or something like that gets put out in the atmosphere? I mean, let's say the government doesn't release it on purpose because they want to reduce population. How long until they have a mistake and release it? The government admits that they released weaponized Lyme's disease out of the Plum Island facility off the coast of New York. And it first showed up in Lyme, Connecticut, hence the name Lyme's disease. I mean, how many times, and they've got hundreds of these labs all over the country with airborne weaponized stuff that will kill 9 out of 10 or more. I'm just rounding down. Between 92 and 99% of those that come in contact with these different things. And they've got facilities all over the country with this, and it's only a matter of time until a crazy person sneaks out of the lab with it and releases it, or somebody makes a mistake, or the government releases it and claims somebody made a mistake or that a crazy person did it, and they put the patsy on television. And what do you think's going to happen when an airborne bioweapon gets out? And by the way, it'll be just like the foot and mouth in 2000 in England, that showed up in locations from southern Scotland all the way down to Cornwall and all the way down to the southern coast of England. In a two-day period, it shows up all over the country. It had been distributed on purpose. I saw that map day one and said it's government. It's weaponized. It's killing. I went and looked up foot and mouth and sheep and cows, and it kills a very small percentage, less than 10%. And I was like, this is killing more than half of them. It's weaponized. Not because I'm a rocket scientist, but I know how to look into stuff. And then about a year later, in the BBC and the London Guardian, there was a little footnote of, oh, there was a level 4 bioweapons lab testing zoological weaponized animal diseases, and they believe that some type of extremist working at the lab got it out and released it. Well, that would have happened in one or two spots, not all over the country. In one day, showing up everywhere, swabbed onto the animals. So don't think you're going to go hide out in the country when the new flu gets out. It's going to be getting sprayed from drones, folks. It isn't going to be person to person. They're going to spray the entire country with this stuff. Oh, man, we're in so much trouble.
Of mine wouldn't let me in, so move it on over,
move it on over,
move it on over,
move it on over,
move over, little dog, cause the big dog's moving in. She's changed.
changed the lock on our front door. My torquey don't fit no more, so get it on over.
Move it on over.
Scoot it on over.
Move it on over.
Move over, skinny dog, cause the fat dog's moving in. This dog house here is mighty small, but it's better than no house at all, so ease it on over.
Move it on over.
Drag it on over.
Move it on over.
Move over, old dog, cause our new dog's moving in.
Okay, we're back live. Thank you for joining us. We have undoubtedly the preeminent researcher into election fraud in the last few decades. And, of course, the HBO documentary Black Box Voting was seen by tens of millions. And we've seen just in the last 5-6 years, national numbers go from less than 10% believing there's election fraud to over 70% in some polls, 90% in some of the others. And a lot of that's thanks to Bev Harris of blackboxvoting.org. I saw an article yesterday that we also posted at Infowars.com from Black Box Voting. Recipe for vote fraud. Global internet voting firm buys U.S. election results reporting firm. Now, remember, Bev, 2 days before the Iowa caucuses, she said, listen, the fact that they're counting it at a secret location, If any of the precincts don't report or don't call it in properly or don't show people the results, that's where you'll find fraud. And now we have the clip we played a few weeks ago of Karl Rove on Fox News as their correspondent saying, yes, well, some of the precincts didn't come in, so we had a gentleman's agreement and gave Santorum 6 more points, so he got second place instead of Paul. I mean, they just hide this stuff in plain view. And then, of course, Ron Paul was happy with his second place there in New Hampshire. But even local Iowa newspapers reported on all the weirdness that went on. So it's all about that funnel she talks about. When stuff's in public, it's out in the open. But it's that little bitty thin area, that Strait of Hormuz, where the problems can happen. And that's where, you know, the lights go off like in the mystery movie. When they come back on, well, the Maltese Falcon has been stolen or whatever the case is. Or grandma's, you know, secret recipe has been stolen. And so this report breaks it down, and she joins us now to also give us any other developments that she's looking at. Bev, thanks for coming on.
Hi, Alex. Well, if I could, I'd like to just make a quick comment on that Iowa situation before we move on to the global situation. You know, Iowa was very interesting because it looks like Santorum either won or, well, at any rate, Romney didn't win. And there were some incidents, but there's a big difference between setting it up properly, which they really did in Iowa, so that people can see when stuff is wrong. It was an alert citizen by the name of Edward True who was attending, who was able to see when they announced the vote that it did not match what got called into the Republican Party. And in fact, Romney only had 2 votes, and they called in 22 votes. And as those who've been following this may know, there was only 8 votes, you know, reported to have separated them. So in fact, Romney didn't win. And all this we're seeing in the media, Romney won and it's historic and blah, 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 he didn't win. But the reason we know he didn't win was because it was done in public. There was another very interesting clip I saw, actually, I think you may have broken this story, in Scott County, where as they were turning in the ballots, the lights went off for like 15 or 20 seconds. Well, here's the thing. When you set it up properly, and I do think that Iowa is really how we need to be setting a lot of this stuff up. The fact that we know that the fact they had to turn the lights off in the first place was because the public was there able to watch. The fact that we know the lights got turned off was because the public was there able to watch. So we have to kind of separate catching people in fraud when it's set up so that we can catch them in fraud, which is what we at least want. We at least want to be able to catch them. Versus the more dangerous situations where we can't even catch them because it's concealed.
Now, I want to talk briefly just about how voter news services worked previously, how nationally you could have Karl Rove in 2000 announce the opposite of what the other networks announced. It turned out the other networks were accurate. And then Karl Rove was just appointing himself king. And again, I'm not an Al Gore supporter, folks, but facts are facts here. But I want to play this clip from Iowa, since you mentioned it, before we get into this big breaking news that you've got for us here, Bev. I want to play this little clip. This is from Fox News, but we've added the little Kentucky Derby clip where he says, and out of nowhere, Santorum, you know, comes into the lead. But other than that, this is Karl Rove on Fox News. Here it is.
Romney is going to win the Iowa caucuses by 14 votes. How solid is your evidence?
From a pretty good, reliable source. They made the correction in Story County, which moved it from an 18-point margin for Santorum to a four-vote margin for Santorum. Clinton County, right. You have the one outstanding precinct in the state, and that it will show an 18-vote victory in that precinct for Mitt Romney, which will give him a statewide victory of 14 votes over.
And from out of nowhere, it's Rick Santorum.
So I don't understand. You're saying that they basically have come to an agreement as to what the vote's going to be in Clinton?
The person who's got the official piece of paper is missing. But the Romney and Santorum people who are monitoring it agree on what the number is. They apparently have rounded up the representatives of the camps who have agreed, yes, we were there, we know exactly what the vote total was, and we both agreed to what it was.
So, Bev, what do you make of that? They agree, then, who the winner is now.
Well, that was pretty bogus, but I do know about that situation, and that particular situation actually turned out to be acceptably transparent. What had happened is the result was called in, and the woman went home and was ready to go to bed, and they said they didn't have the results or whatever. But at any rate, the result that finally made its way in was verified by people who were there and people who were watching and so forth. The key here is you got to be able to see what's going on.
Exactly.
Because
anybody that
if you can see it, then when they do monkey business like this, somebody steps forward. And the great part is they never know who has their cell phone out taking a picture of what's going on. So it's very likely, when people are organized like they were with Ron Paul in Iowa, that it's going to get caught.
Well, Bev, I mean, just as a layman here who's been watching this for 17 years and you having experts like yourself on this key subject, the idea that we're just supposed to trust these electronic voting machine companies who've been caught cheating, manipulating, being hacked, backdoors being built in. And then when you do have transparent systems, there's always normal problems and chicanery there. So the claim that we shouldn't have transparent elections and that we're just being paranoid, well, that's ridiculous.
Right. And if you notice how the news media spins this, and both the right wing and the left wing, you know, canned news outlets, just editorial outlets, basically, spun it the same way. When it was found by a citizen that the vote count that was reported was wrong, they started ridiculing the system and saying how ridiculous it was, and they don't know what they're doing because people were able to see what's going on. So they neatly turned that corner from people can see what's going on, so problems see the light of day, to, oh, they don't know what they're going on because, look, there were problems. You're going to find problems if you can see them, if the system is set up right. So, you know, what we're looking at in the upcoming election in South Carolina and most other elections is something where the citizens can't see anything. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty smooth, and they can come in and they can report their results, you know, toot sweet in 8 seconds like they like to do, and then they'll say, and there were no problems and it went smoothly. Well, yeah, that's because the public wasn't allowed to watch.
Break it down in simple terms, your article, Recipe for Vote Fraud, a global internet voting firm buys U.S. election results reporting firm. I mean, isn't that a national security issue to have foreign companies controlling our voting? I mean, are we going to have foreign countries or companies controlling our nuclear weapons development, Bev? What's next?
I didn't actually title it Recipe for Vote Fraud, although, and I think, let me just mention about, you know, the frame of vote fraud versus the frame I prefer to see. You see, vote fraud may happen with an open system that we can see, but then we can see it, or it may happen with a concealed system we can't see that's controlled by a corporation. But what we have to have is a structure so that we can see what's going on, because if we can see it, that will ultimately help prevent vote fraud or catch it or expose it. So what's going on now, it's unbelievably dangerous to the whole democratic structure. In fact, it removes the democratic structure. What we have is already we have one company which is in charge of results reporting for it. I wrote in my article over 525 United States jurisdictions this fall. It's actually going to be over 900 jurisdictions in 26 states. Instead of, like, you'll go to your county website and you'll look at that and it'll say, oh, here's the results. Well, not really. A lot, in over 900 counties, when you go to your county website, you're actually looking at a redirected site out of Tampa, Florida. And so all the results for 26 states and 900 locations are actually going to Tampa, Florida before they're reported. And then we add to that, that firm that reports the results is then purchased by another firm out of Spain. And that firm out of Spain also produces the voting system. Now, there you get, and by the way, the type of voting that that firm is, which is called CYTL, S-C-Y-T-L, the type of voting that it's promoting is the worst kind of voting. It's internet voting. And the reason it's the worst is because the public can't see who cast the votes into that internet system. They can't see the counting of the vote. The chain of custody is completely evaporated. So you're seeing, it's like, trust me, this internet voting counted by someplace in Spain is right, and the same company is going to report the results to the United States.
And by the way, this was first reported 5 days ago by MarketWatch, which is part of the Wall Street Journal, and there it says it right there. And then I'm looking, because I guess this is the headline we got from another site with your article. What at blackboxvoting.org, what's the actual headline of the original article you wrote, Bev?
Kind of tongued it down. Global internet voting firm buys U.S. election results reporting firm. And then I basically lead sentences in a major step toward global centralization of election processes, because that's really what it's doing. And I think it will help if we focus on structure, because they can't steal elections as easily if the right structure is in place. If we put the wrong structure in place, they can do it whatever they want and we'll never know. And the whole thing becomes theater.
Well, sure. And the issue here is that we need to be able to track this thing from start to finish. But Bev, you should probably briefly recap. Give us some of the greatest hits of election fraud and scams. People forget that executives have gone public and said it's fraud. Engineers have gone public. They've been caught. Give us some of the greatest hits.
Oh, there's one that's going on right now in South Carolina. Get this. It happens locally. It happens all over the place. But this is new. You haven't heard this yet before. And this place, they have. There were so many things that went wrong, but basically they were using these electronic voting machines, and the results were so suspicious that they sequestered the machines at the local police's office. It was a city election. And they were going to examine the machines. They set the election aside. It was so bad. And they were going to examine the machines. Well, just before they go to examine the machines, in swoops the county sheriff. Now, understand, you've got the local police officer, home rule, the chief of police. You've got the county sheriff. The county sheriff sweeps in with a bolt cutter to take the machines out of the local police chief's evidence room. And so they wouldn't let him do that. So they go to court, and the judge says, oh, okay, you can go get him. It was just crazy. We see this kind of stuff happening all the time, where the machines are sequestered. But the bottom line is you can't prove it because no one can see it. And even you can't extract the programming. You're just out of luck. In South Carolina, which is going to be a presidential primary this Saturday, we can't see anything and we can't prove anything. it goes into a computer program controlled by a private company. It wouldn't matter if it was public, because if they don't let you see anything, and you don't, you have absolutely no idea.
And Bev, how many times in front of the news have you gone and with engineers hacked into these voting systems, sometimes in seconds?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, 4 seconds, me and my assistant actually got into a voting system in 1 minute with $12 worth of tools. And you have to understand, me and my assistant are both, are, you know, like 50-year-old woman. Well, I'm 60 now, 50 then. I mean, we didn't even know anything about electronics. But, you know, we figured it out. Oh, let's get a screwdriver and let's take this. I was really, basically, someone who is an advanced TV repairman can tamper with the result in most voting machines.
And if they'll kick Ron Paul out of debates and say he can't win and engage in all this other behavior and lie about WMDs and pass laws they can secretly arrest citizens and have us disappear into black holes, this is about trillions of dollars a year that special interest control. You'd have to be insane to say they wouldn't use systems like this to engage in fraud. And these companies have been caught over and over again. Whatever happened with Diebold when they changed their name and sold off their systems?
Well, you know, here's the deal with Diebold. They changed the name, then they sold it. They sold it to who? The biggest voting machine company in the country, Election Systems and Software. So I went to the Department of Justice and hammered on them and said, you've got to stop this. This is totally a monopoly. They control now 70% of the vote counting in the United States. So what does the Justice Department do? They wait and wait and wait, and then they sell off part of the acquisition to a company out of Toronto, Canada, which nobody knows who owns. So at this point, we have 70% of the votes in the U.S. counted by two companies, Election Systems and Software, and the other one is called Dominion. And we don't know who owns either company. We have no idea.
This would be like going into some machine with a carnival barker, and he says, you know, pull the lever and the machine will tell you if you won. And you're like, well, this machine's rigged. And he says, trust me. I mean, this is the oldest trick in the book.
Oh, it is. Actually, so much of what I see is simply a magic show. When you ask a question, your attention is redirected somewhere else. Just like someone who's watching a magician. You know, it's like, don't look there, look here. But yet, if you keep your eye on the ball, it's just indefensible.
Bev Harris, we're coming up to the end of the show, but do one more segment with us because I want you to finish that point and also give us hot spots that you see in other primaries coming up, because you called exactly what was going to happen in Iowa and in New Hampshire. So other areas that you're investigating right now, we'll be right back. We've got an article up at Infowars.com. CDC increases pressure on parents to vaccinate kids with deadly toxins. We've got newscasts out of California where they come to the door and say, we're here to shoot your child up, just outside of law. And we're getting reports here that we're going to try to confirm out of Pennsylvania. And this is actually from the sports director at a YMCA, I'll just leave it at that, where they call the state police on them when they wouldn't take a vaccine. Wow, this is crazy. I've got to get these people on. You know, Bev, it's wild how nuts everything's getting.
Oh, yeah, it is. Sometimes I think one of the people that read my recent article said, is that it? Is it all over? Should we just, you know, put up our feet and eat bonbons? But you have to look at this for the scale that it is. And I think once you do that, then you can start to at least approach things in a realistic frame. It's not going to be something we can wave a magic wand and all this stuff is going to get corrected quickly. We have to first understand what the key part of the problem is and then go after it. We just got to keep going after it. I want to mention something there. Back in the 1700s, before the U.S. was even a country, you know, they banned slavery for the first time in the world. Up until that point, 75% of all people on the face of the earth were either slaves or indentured servants. The entire economy was based on it. It was banned by a small group of citizens. It took them 75 years, but they got it banned. So, and I point to that, to point to the idea that you can actually have success. It's been done before.
Oh, well, look at the SOPA. I mean, they're now shelving the SOPA bill. So when we take action, we can have an effect. Looking at Florida, you were making some great points during the break about what you expect to see in South Carolina and Florida.
Well, South Carolina is, I don't know, it's completely concealed and we have no idea. And they've had some extremely bizarre results before out of South Carolina. There was if you have any questions about that, Google Alvin Green in 2010, a completely bizarre situation. So we don't know. South Carolina is going to be whatever the powers that be make it be. Florida is really, I think, where it's going to start to wrap up because Florida is, it's already, they're saying now there's twice as many absentee ballots as normal. Absentee has all the problems of electronic voting plus all the problems of vote stuffing and not knowing who voted. So you've got that. And then you've got, in Florida, you now have paper ballots, but guess what they did? They made it against the law to look at the paper ballots even in a recount.
Wow.
It's, I mean, you know, so there we go. And we know the history of Florida in terms of all kinds of election fraud and election problems. But I think what we're going to start seeing, and this has been the whole push all along, is going to be, let's get these candidates out of the field. Let's get them to step aside. Let's anoint our winner. And you can really tell how it's going to go by watching the selected pundits on the major network news. Well, you know, CNN, MSNBC and Fox. You look at them all and watch what they do, and they've got a drumbeat, and their drumbeat that I've been noticing right now is, well, Ron Paul is going to be able to have some effect because he's got delegates. In other words, in code, step aside, you're in the way, but we'll let you have some effect on the platform.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're saying Ron Paul can't win, step
right,
aside.
Right, right.
And when it's the other candidates that should step aside, blackboxvoting.org. Bev Harris, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Amazing.